Blog Talk Radio.
What is that which gives me joy? Baseball.
Thank you. That is Bobby D. as Al Capone in the movie The Untouchables, talking about the joys of baseball. And baseball gives me joy too, but my take on fantasy baseball's top first baseman last week ticked some of you off, and that's great because there's life out there, and some of you are angry, and you're listening, and you reached out to me after last week's broadcast. We got some nasty direct messages. One of our listeners, Ryan Nichols, asked why I had left out Red Sox first baseman Mike Napoli. Well, he's a fellow Paisan, and maybe I should have spoken about him. Basically, he's a high bronze first baseman. Remember, I ranked the first baseman as platinum, gold, silver, and bronze. Now, Napoli, he's a nice power hitter, but he's lucky if he plays in about 130 to 140 games. He'll hit between 240 and 250 for you and club about 20 home runs on average, give or take a few. Is he someone you want to target on draft day? Not really, but he's someone that you could pick up within the last few rounds of your draft, and then you could ride him throughout the season when he gets on his hot streaks. So his power numbers are valuable during the time in fantasy baseball when home runs, they're at a premium, right? Another listener, Jim Butler, direct messaged me about Adam Lind, former Blue Jay and current Brewer. But he's a great hitter against righties, but he doesn't do so well against lefties, and he might find himself in a platoon situation. He also has a history of being injury-prone. Not much fantasy value there, in my opinion. One guy I'd like to mention that I left out is Steve Pierce from the Baltimore Orioles. He's a low-level silver, or maybe even a high-end bronze, that finally had his breakout season at the age of 31. He's been a journeyman his whole career, playing for several teams. The Orioles had released him and then picked him up in the same season last year. He ended up with 20 home runs and a .293 batting average. I wouldn't draft him until the very late rounds of your draft. Sometimes guys like Pierce tend to take a step back after a career year. So watch him in spring training. But I want to thank everyone who reached out to us. Really lets us know what you think of the show. And keep on doing that. So keep me honest, okay? Keep it coming. So now that we got past first base, it's time to continue our preseason odyssey and analyze.
What's on second?
That's right, Abbott. But not only what's on second, and I don't want to get into a controversy with you, but who your potential fantasy baseball second baseman is going to be. It's not a deep position, so listen up. I could say something monumental at any time. Be prepared for spontaneous greatness here. I am the living legend, Joe Galina, and it's just a fantasy sports show starts right now. So before we get started with our in-depth analysis of the second base position, I want to share my fantasy baseball draft tip of the day with you, because as you know, sharing is caring. So, have you started doing some mock drafts like I told you last week? What? No? Did I hear you say you haven't yet? Wait a minute.
What did I tell you? What did I tell you?
Didn't I tell you to start doing mock drafts and that would help you prepare for the upcoming fantasy baseball season? What do you think? The Living Legend puts this podcast together for his health? When the Living Legend gives you a tip, you need to follow those instructions implicitly, because
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I don't like to toot my own horn, but I'll do it if I have to. I mean, I'll hate myself in the morning for doing it, but by great Odin's Raven, I'll do it. And not heeding the advice of the Living Legend when it comes to fantasy sports is like ignoring the financial advice of Buffett. Okay, so now that that's out of the way, and as you start prepping for your inevitable fantasy baseball draft, let's talk about batting averages. Now, there's no question that offense is at a premium in the major leagues right now. Pitchers have really dominated hitters over the past few years. The overall batting average in the major leagues last season was .251, and that's down from an average of .266 back in 2004. That's right. In 10 years, the Major League's overall batting average has dropped 15 points. So when evaluating a hitter, I like to focus on a hitter's batting average over the past 3 years. I always targeted guys who had a three-year batting average of 280 or higher whenever possible. Those players are getting harder and harder to find, so you may need to drop that criteria down to a 270 batting average. I'm a firm believer that in fantasy baseball, past performance is a good predictor of future results. It doesn't always work out that way, but the cream usually rises to the top and vice versa, right? Offense is very valuable right now, as I said, and power hitters who hit for average are especially sought after. And the 5-2 player, well, he's gone. Basically, there aren't too many. They're few and far between these days. So tip number two is to focus on players who have a recent history of hitting over 280 over the past three seasons. And if you can't find enough candidates, then drop the criteria down to 270 whenever possible. So we're going to move around the diamond now. We're going to get to second base, just like when we analyzed the first base position. We're going to grade these players as platinum, gold, silver, and bronze candidates. Platinum and gold players basically speak for themselves. Some people frown upon the silver category. They feel that...
You win that silver. That's like, congratulations, you almost won. Of all the losers, you came in first of that group. You're the number one loser. No one lost ahead of you.
Now, I don't subscribe to that point of view. I mean, if you're lucky enough to be considered a silver second baseman by the living legend, you've definitely accomplished something. Some silvers just lack the consistency that I like to see from a top-notch fantasy player. Or they used to be fantasy gold but had an off year. They're good, but I just can't recommend them as can't-miss guys. So don't feel bad if you're a silver second baseman, okay? Chin up, all right? Well, it's time to identify the one second baseman who undeniably is... That's right. This guy is simply the best. And, of course, I'm talking about Mariners second baseman Robinson Cano. I mean, I can understand why the Yanks didn't sign him to a long-term contract when he was a free agent last season. They got A-Rod and Teixeira and CC Sabathia on the books and paying them big money long after their best years have come and gone. But when it comes to second baseman, Cano stands alone. He did suffer a bit of a power outage last season. You would think that playing in spacious Safeco Park would do that to you, but you can't really put the blame on his home stadium when 9 of his 14 home runs were hit at home. He still hit a ton of doubles, and 12 of his 14 home runs were hit during the final 4 months of the season. So let's give him the benefit of the doubt and chalk up his overall lack of home runs to feeling pressured as to having to be the man in Seattle earlier in the season. Maybe he was pressing it a bit. Say what you will about him, but he is consistent. He batted .313 in 2012 and .314 in each of the last two seasons. So you know what you're getting when you're drafting a guy like Cano. The additions of Nelson Cruz and Seth Smith to the Mariner lineup should help Cano, give him a little bit of protection in that lineup. I see an uptick in his power numbers next season. I confidently make him my choice as the platinum fantasy baseball second baseman for 2015. Robinson Cano, like Paul Goldschmidt, who was my pick as the top fantasy first baseman last week on the show, you win absolutely nothing. Trailing close behind, and I'm going to make him a high gold, is someone who, when I think about him, this song comes to mind.
Short people got no reason. Short people got no reason. Short people got no reason to live.
Now, of course, that's not true, and short people have a lot to live for. And I'm sure that Houston Astros second baseman Jose Altuve has had to contend with short jokes his whole life. He's just 5'6", but he plays as if he were a giant. I love Altuve. I'm a legend, as I've made clear, but admittedly, I'm a bit vertically challenged. I mean, I check in at about 5'8". Yeah, I basically tower over Altuve, but man, I could never play baseball the way this guy could. I mean, look at his numbers from last year. 344 batting average, 85 runs scored, 56 stolen bases. I mean, he dropped his strikeout percentage by 5 points. and he's doing a better job of making contact with the ball, and all that speed means that he's going to beat out a bunch of infield hits. I mean, I wouldn't expect another 344 batting average from him this season, but 310, that's not out of the question. Look for him to get drafted in the mid to late second round. And coming in at number three on my list of best fantasy second baseman is Ian Kinsler. He's a very good ball player who benefits from being a part of a very potent Tiger lineup. He scored 100 runs last season. He still has some power and a bit of speed left. He won't kill you with his batting average. Last season, he batted 275. He clubbed 17 home runs, 92 RBIs, and 15 steals. I mean, I could see the RBI total dropping down a bit this season, but other than that, there's no reason to believe that he won't put up similar numbers again this season. So a solid pick. And now we move on to our silver category. And Seinfeld, I don't want to hear it. Bite your tongue. There are some very good ball players in my silver category. And take, for instance, Dustin Pedroia. I mean, I'm looking for a big bounce-back season from him. Boston Red Sox second baseman Dustin Pedroia. Who knows? Maybe he can even make it back to the gold category the next season. I know his numbers were down last season, and a lot of fantasy experts are down on him as well. But he played through a wrist injury that finally caused him to have season-ending surgery last September. Prior to last season, Pedroia was a perennial 300 hitter who was good for 15 home runs, 90 runs scored, and he would steal somewhere around 20 bases for you. I mean, I think if he could stay healthy, that's what you could expect from him this upcoming season. I see him going back to the ball player that he was. I mean, he should be drafted somewhere around the 6th to 8th rounds of a 12-team league. And that brings us up to the number 5 second baseman. And if twin second baseman Brian Dozier could just hit for a better average, I would make him my number 2 second baseman overall. I mean, look at his numbers from last season. 23 home runs, 112 runs scored, 21 stolen bases, and then he follows that up with a .243 batting average. I'm hoping that the hiring of Paul Molitor as the Twins manager is going to infuse new life to this team. Maybe Molitor and his staff could work with Dozier and help him get his average up to at least the league's average of .251. Maybe. I mean, I know Molitor was already on the Twins coaching staff last season, but hey, a living legend can have some hope, right? I mean, Dozier does hit lefties a bit better than righties, if that does anything for you. I mean, quite frankly, the living legend, don't see him developing into anything more than a .250 hitter. But hey, if he could keep on hitting the long ball, score some runs, and steal bases the way he did, as long as his defense is good, he'll continue to see his at-bats. And if you have a balanced team, he could be a solid add to your fantasy team, right? You know, I really struggled with the next few picks, but my 6th pick of the fantasy baseball second baseman is Los Angeles Dodger Howie Kendricks. Now, when you look at Howie Kendricks' numbers, he has consistently been a solid fantasy player. He doesn't do one thing great, but he is a consistent 285 to 295 hitter. He's good for 60 to 70 RBIs, 13 to 14 home runs, 10 to 15 steals every season. I mean, by the end of the season, he definitely helps you out in a roto league. Now, in a roto league, you accumulate points based on your fantasy team's season-long statistics in specific categories. So, for instance, in offense, you're looking at batting average, runs scored, home runs, and for pitching, you know, there's more than that, but those are just some of the categories. And in pitching, you're looking at wins, strikeouts, ERA, et cetera. I mean, we'll talk about the different fantasy league formats in the coming weeks. I mean, there are also some head-to-head fantasy baseball leagues, but listen, I digress. Let's get back to Kendricks, because by the end of the season, Kendricks, he puts up some really good numbers, and like I said, nothing too spectacular, but he gets the job done, he's consistent, and that's why I could pencil him in right now for a .292 batting average, 13 home runs, 15 steals, 70 RBIs for this upcoming season, and I won't even blink an eye doing it. Right now, New York Met Daniel Murphy, his stats are eerily similar to those of Howie Kendricks. I mean, he's a career .290 hitter, and he's been just as consistent as Howie Kendricks. Both Kendricks and Murphy fly way below the radar, but they are effective fantasy players in a weak second base position, some guys to really focus on draft day. And now, because of the living legend, you are aware of both Daniel Murphy and Howie Kendricks. And moving on, Jason Kipnis. What do you say about Jason Kipnis? He really let a lot of fantasy owners down last season. I mean, so much was expected from him. And he started out the season very slowly, and we all waited for him to snap out of his funk, and we waited, and we waited, and we're still waiting. So much for him breaking out in his 27th year. You know, the theory about how baseball players uncannily have their breakout season when they're 27 years old. Well, Kipnis was 27, and he didn't have his breakout season. And he goes from being one of the most sought-after second basemen in drafts last year to a potential sleeper candidate. I mean, if you're looking for some positives to take from Kipnis's 2014 season, he struck out less, and he stole 22 bases. But other than that, his power numbers were basically non-existent. I mean, after hitting 17 bombs in 2013, he hit just 6 last year. And his batting average got clobbered. He dropped 44 points from the previous season. He ended up with a .240 batting average. Listen, in his defense, he was dealing with an oblique injury, and those could be tough. Might have affected his swing. Could be used as an excuse to explain why he lost so much of his power. For the most part, I am bullish on Jason Kipnis. I wouldn't sleep on him if I were you. I think he's primed for a bounce-back year. I could see him hitting about .270 with 18 home runs and 25 steals. Definitely nothing to sneeze at the second base position. And now let's move on to Pittsburgh Pirates second baseman Neil Walker. By season's end, he had put up some pretty good numbers. Set career high in home runs with 23, and he ended the season with a respectable .271 batting average. He also drove in 76 runs, and that's definitely helpful, those stats in a roto league especially. Unfortunately, if you own shares in Neil Walker, you did have to endure some stretches where he slumped mightily. I mean, thank goodness those bad stretches were followed by some very good stretches. I mean, in head-to-head leagues, those prolonged slumps can kill your season. And Walker, yeah, I mean, he had months where he hit like 203, just like in August and in May. He followed it up with a .313 batting average. So he had his good months, his bad months, but in most cases last season, Walker wasn't even drafted last season, but by the end of the year, he was worthy of being included in most teams' fantasy lineups. I mean, don't expect much more than what he gave you in 2014. You may even see a slight dip in his home run total, maybe down to about 20. But hey, 20 home runs and 70 RBIs from your second baseman is still very good. Dee Gordon, second baseman for the Miami Marlins and former LA Dodger. He's just a stolen base machine. No, that's not a bird or a plane. That's simply Dee Gordon. He stole 64 bases last season, even though his base on ball percentage actually dropped from .213 by almost 50%. His speed allows him to beat out infield hits, and when he's on base, he steals. Almost 60% of the balls he hit were grounders last season, and the one thing he is good at is beating out infield hits. How fast is this guy? For his career, he has stolen one base per 10 at-bats. He is a bit of a mystery. He had a real good debut season in 2011. He stole 24 bases in 56 games, and he batted .304. The next couple of seasons, he batted .228 and .234 respectively, and then last year, he enjoyed his true breakout season, but unfortunately, he's just a one-trick pony. So if you play in a roto league and you need a speedster, he's your guy. Look for his batting average to drop down a bit, maybe down to about a .275 or .280 clip, but he is still good, and he's still a good bet to steal 50 bases for you. And now, that moves us to our bronze category, and leading us off is St. Louis Cardinal second baseman Colton Wong. He has lots of potential and showed flashes last year where you thought he was going to take off, but at just 24 years old, he's still a work in progress. I mean, he could eventually be a 2020 guy, and hey, you've got to have faith in a guy who comes through the vaunted Cardinal farm system, so look for him later in drafts. Ben Zobrist, Oakland A. What makes him appealing is the fact that he's eligible in the outfield as well as second base in most leagues. He used to be a guy that would hit close to 20 home runs, but at this point of his career, he's basically a .270 hitter with 10 to 15 home run power who could swipe about 10 bases for you. And now that he plays half of his games in Oakland, his home run totals will probably tend to be closer to that 10 mark. Chase Utley, Philadelphia Philly legend, he had a bounce back year last year, but is nowhere near the player that you remember. He's closer to Zobrist's numbers at this point. He's probably not more than a 275, 10 to 15 homer guy, 75 RBIs with 10 stolen bases. Very, very similar to a Zobrist. Cincinnati Red, Brandon Phillips. He's another former All-Star who just isn't getting it done any longer. I mean, you used to be able to count on him for close to 20 home runs, a .290 batting average, and a few stolen bases, but he's fading fast. He will continue to get at-bats because of his stellar defense, but he's nowhere near the player he used to be. And you can say the same exact thing for Arizona's Aaron Hill. Can he snap out of it this season? I mean, his home run power has consistently gone down in recent years. He teased us from 2011 to 2013, batting .315, .302, and .291 respectively. But last season, the bottom dropped out, and he batted just .244. I don't see him batting higher than .275 this season. I like Milwaukee's Scooter Gennett. He had a nice season in 2014, but he just can't hit left-handers. He batted .103 against him. So as much as I like him, he's nothing more than a low-level bronze second baseman. He just might not get enough at-bats if he doesn't do better against lefties. He may have to be platooned. There are a couple other names out there, but none that I would readily endorse. I mean, you need to watch these guys in spring training and see how they develop. I mean, I'm talking about guys like Rougned Odor from the Rangers, who's he's got pretty good speed and a bit of power, but at 20 years old, he's still pretty raw. Gordon Beckham from the Angels. He just never played up to his capabilities when he was with the White Sox. Brett Lowry for the A's. Is he finally going to play up to his talent? I mean, I'm always waiting for Beckham and Lowry to finally put it all together, but it just never happens. I mean, watch the Cubs. They have a few guys eligible at second baseman, some young guys like Baez, Alcantara, Valbuena. I mean, can Estrubel Cabrera replace Ben Zobrist in Tampa? Jed Gallarco from the Padres, he has some power, but he's an incomplete player thus far. Can he break out, pick up that average a bit? I mean, can any of these guys that I just mentioned break out? Too many question marks surrounding them, and that's why they round out the lower level of our bronze second baseman. Listen, let me know, just like Ryan Nichols and Jim Butler did, if you think I unfairly left out someone at the second base position. Hey, I'm a living legend, but I'm also human, so things happen. But just an FYI, Anthony Rendon, some fantasy experts included him in the second base position. We're going to include him in our discussion about the third base position. And once spring training camps open up, we'll be able to get a better sense as to who the second base sleepers will be. And you know that the living legend's going to be right here giving you the inside scoop on how to craft your best fantasy baseball team. But hey, until then, that's going to have to slam the lid on things for today. Follow me on Twitter, at Joe Gallina, at JoeGallina. Let me know what you think of this show, especially if you hate it. I hope you enjoyed our in-depth analysis of the fantasy baseball second baseman. Next time, we're going to examine what you could expect from the shortstop position. Going to try to get a show onto you next week, but we might have some logistical issues and we might not have a new episode for you until 2 weeks, but we'll do our best to get something up for next week. And I'd like to thank our guests for this week. Thanks to Robert De Niro, Tina Turner, Jerry Seinfeld, Bud Abbott, Randy Newman, and of course the incomparable Ron Burgundy. Hope I didn't miss anybody, and I would especially like to thank you for listening. Remember to keep moving straight ahead, and all of your fantasies will become realities. Have a great week.